some people in the media, some people on certain political persuasions that just dismiss it as kind of a Texas problem or an Arizona problem. But I'm here to tell you, when you don't have control of your own border, that's an American problem. To me, what I've seen at the border is just humiliating as a country, that we can't even enforce the territorial integrity of this nation.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting perspective on it, humiliating. I also like how he calls, some people have a political persuasion, like it's a sexual orientation. that's what we say. Well, they were of a different persuasion, you know. So just kind of a funny turn of phrase. But yeah, humiliating that we can't even enforce our own border, that we don't have an effective policy when it comes to that. I thought it was interesting, some of the comments that he made, the sort of stuff that made the news yesterday was the announcement of his relatively comprehensive statement about what he wants to do differently as president, if elected, when it comes to border control. And the biggest thing, and this is not anything that he has invented, it's not a first time saying it or anything like that, but the idea that the incentives, right, you got to build the wall. He said that, of course. I mean, it's ridiculous that, for example, we would just sit there and allow them to cut holes in the wall when they do, and they can, and then not do something about that.
But even in places where there were really serious steel beams and everything, these guys and the cartels, they can cut through the really fortified steel beams. And I'm just thinking to myself, you spend all this money on that, and you just let them cut through with impunity and do it. And so, you know, I think you need adequate rules of engagement so that, I mean, if someone was breaking into your house, you would repel them with the use of force, right? But yet if they have drugs, these backpacks, and they're going in and they're cutting through an enforced structure, we're just supposed to let them in? You know, I say use force to repel them. If you do that one time, they will never do it again.
And it's kind of interesting because later on, he did two events yesterday. This was the first one. And then later on, he did another one, and he was talking about using deadly force, even possibly, for the cartels cutting through the border. I didn't hear him say the deadly force, but I didn't listen to the other press conference, so maybe he said it in the other one. In this one, he just said use force. And of course, I mean, I've always thought this was fascinating. Like, if you go to some other country, you know, you're in, I don't know, Germany, and you're wanting to go to Poland, or you're in Austria and you're wanting to go to the Czech Republic, there's a border and there's a checkpoint and there's armed guards. And it would never even occur to me, the idea that they're not entitled to protect that border, right? That I would be entitled to cross it without facing an inspection or questions or having, you know, a passport or papers or whatever. Like, that idea, it's so bizarre to me that we think, that some people, I should say, think there's something weird about controlling the border, like that they think somehow that's odd. No, that's the norm. That's what it means to have them, right? The other thing that he talked about quite a bit yesterday was the draw. You know, what is it that if people don't want to come here, then they won't come here as much, right? And again, just to be clear, if you've not listened to me talk about immigration before, I actually want a lot of immigrants. I want people who are going to come here and be productive. I want a large wall with a big door, is the metaphor I've always used. And because we depend on immigration, we love immigration, we don't make enough babies here, and we'd like to take them from somewhere else if we can get them who are going to be productive, okay? This country was built on immigration, and we should continue to do that. But we don't want the criminals, and we don't want people who aren't going to be a productive member of society. We don't want to drain on social services, and we do want people to come here in an orderly fashion so that we can make sure and vet them against the problems that we're trying to avoid. But the challenge is there's so much here now in terms of social programs that is appealing that means we're not incentivizing only the workers, the industrious, the creators, the business developers to come here, but it's everybody.
Yeah, you go back like 100 years, 120 years, people would come. A lot of people were very poor back then. They would come, but there was no taxpayer programs. So if you came to America, you know, you had two nickels to rub together, like you better work. You better figure out what you're going to do. You better have a plan to make it. And actually, if you came to someplace like Ellis Island and you were considered a public charge, they would send you back. They wouldn't even let you into this country if they thought you were going to somehow be a burden to the community or a burden to the state in any way. And I think that that's really, you know, the way it should be. Why would you want to say, come to America to get on programs? No, people have come legally to America not because they wanted to get on a program, it's because they wanted to live in freedom and they wanted to have an opportunity to do well. And that's what we've got to get back to in this country.
And there's something that's, you know, profoundly reminding about people coming here to take advantage of a system that we sometimes take for granted. and don't appreciate. And, you know, the stories of first-generation immigrants who come here with nothing. They start a business. They grow. They thrive. They become wealthy. You're like, how'd you do that? You know, but that's the point, is they took advantage of a system that we take for granted that they do not have in their home countries. 7:15 here on News Radio 92.3. The big announcement that he made yesterday of sorts, the one that got a lot of news, I'll tell you about here in just a second. Candy has traffic on the fives.
I'm showing an accident at Tower Ridge Road and Frank Reeder Road and Bridal Pines Lane. Now, this is off Beulah Road, and it looks like it is very slow in that area, but use caution. I'm not showing a roadblock. Tiger Point 98 is backed up eastbound near Country Club Road. They're doing some paving, some construction this morning, and Country Club Road itself a little backed up northbound. Same reason. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. If you got pets that stay outside, make sure they got plenty of water and shade before you leave the house. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, depending on where you live, to the south or to the north, we are under an either a heat advisory or an extreme heat warning. Basically, south is worse because it's more humid. North is not quite as bad, but still bad. So everywhere in Escambia and Santa Rosa County today is a dangerous day to be outside in the heat. It's, you know, it's going to be close to 110 in the north with the heat index, more than 110 in everything basically south of I-10. So please, please be careful today. Bands on the beach tonight. Bands on the beach is going to be Mass Confusion at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Always a good show. And also coming up July 4th, right? We have the Pensacola Symphony, Sparks. Sparks and Stars is going to be performed by Mouget, and from 7:30 to 9. And then also we'll be carrying, you know, on our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, they'll be carrying the music for the fireworks show downtown, the Sertoma Fireworks Show, which is, you know, the biggest in the Gulf Coast. That's always a good time. Anyway, back to the conversations that are back to the conversation that Governor DeSantis was having yesterday. He also said that he wants to bring a new interpretation of a concept that a lot of people take for granted, birthright citizenship. The idea that if you happen to get delivered here on U.S. soil, you're a citizen, period, end of discussion.
We also need to remove the incentives to come illegally to begin with. And that means employment. That means taxpayer-financed benefit. It also means this idea that you can come across the border 2 days later, have a child, and somehow that's an American citizen. That was not the original understanding of the 14th Amendment. And so we'll take action to force a clarification of that. But I think it's wrong that people would use our country for things like birth tourism. So we're going to be removing the incentives to come into this country illegally.
Yeah, it's a weird one because on the one hand, he's right. You know, that wasn't the original intent. On the other hand, it's been such a popularly held view and even, you know, legally held view that that would be a citizen, that it's going to be hard to tinker with that. Okay. But there is something very, very strange about, and he's right, there are birth tours. I mean, people do come here from more Asia, like, you know, people who are wealthier, they want citizenship for their kids. So they'll come here, you know, and spend 2 months here and then deliver, and, you know, that kid's an American. They came here legally, but for that idea of birth tourism. Now, that's not what's going on at the border, per se, but the basic idea that you would be in this country for the purpose of making your child an American, especially if you come here throughout without going through the proper processes, undocumented or illegal, as some people would say, that is weird. You know, why that odd circumstance of your birth would make you a citizen entitled to all of the rights and privileges and immunities of the United States.
Because it's in the 14th Amendment. You guys weren't around in 1866. You don't know what it meant.
I'm saying that if you, there's actually more to the legal history of that. It's been a while since I brushed up on it, but there are some open questions about it. But you're right. That's the way most people understand it. And is that, you know, is that the way it should be going forward? Is that the way the law actually stands? Well, that's what he's saying he wants to look at, either to reinterpret what it does mean or perhaps to change it if it can't be reinterpreted. 7:19 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This Blue Angels history is presented by the National Naval Aviation Museum.
Blue Angels must be strong, healthy, and fit. So why was there a fat Blue Angel added in 1970? Well, the Blue Angels had used several transport planes throughout their history to support their out-of-town air shows. And in 1970, it was determined that a Lockheed C-130 Hercules was to be the newest plane for the job. But the Navy didn't have any in their inventory that were not already obligated to other missions. So they turned to the Marine Corps, which provided not only the plane, but a full crew as well. This giant 75,000-pound turboprop plane was 98 feet long, 14 feet wide, had a wingspan of 132 feet, and at its tail was as tall as a four-story building. This was one fat bird. So the logical nickname was quickly chosen, Fat Albert. Flying everywhere the jets fly, Fat Albert was and remains an integral part of the support effort for the Blue Angels. She carries the maintenance crew, all the necessary equipment for an air show, plus spare parts and supplies to repair and maintain the demonstration aircraft. If a part was needed but not on board, then Fat Albert could be dispatched to pick them up, as happened the day after a show in Cleveland. The Blue Angels had completed their breathtaking performance the previous day and were heading back home to Pensacola. But on takeoff, one of the jets swallowed a seagull through its intake. The engine had to be replaced, but there wasn't one on board the C-130. So Fat Albert flew to Pensacola, picked up a jet engine, and flew back to Cleveland, all in a matter of hours. The maintenance crew switched out the power plant, and the Blues headed home to Pensacola. Without Fat Albert and her all-Marine crew, the modern Blue Angels air shows would not be possible. And while Fat Albert is usually in the background, she occasionally took center stage to demonstrate her capabilities. At several show sites each season, Fat Albert demonstrated a jet-assisted takeoff for the crowd. Eight solid fuel rockets attached to the sides of the aircraft helped the C-130 take off at a 45-degree angle in less than 1,500 feet of runway, about half what would otherwise be required. Fat Albert's final JADO ever was performed during the homecoming air show at NAS Pensacola on November 14, 2009. With its high wing, low stance, and easy access cargo compartment, Fat Albert makes an ideal transport and home away from home workshop for the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
Without a doubt, the worst year for the Blue Angels was 1973. Accidents plagued the team all season, and some were calling for the abolition of the team. We'll cover the details next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Party down with a big bang. Shelton Fireworks has been in business for over 40 years. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton sends the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks, the largest finale cakes, and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's has got it. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonfireworks.com, home of the big ones.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, He is God. I encourage you to rejoice in Him and give your life to Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
This 4th of July, News Radio Pensacola is carrying the Pensacola Symphony Sparks and Stars, presented by Peter Muji, thanks to our broadcast sponsor, Fishbine Orthodontics.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak. Steam at 45 degrees.
Good morning, 725 News Radio 92.3, informative local Australian. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I have a special treat for y'all. Now, he's not going to be talking just yet, but do you remember the deputy that got swept across Highway 98 in that terrible storm event that we had and survived? He's standing in
and
the
saved
studio.
Somebody else's
That's
life,
right.
too.
Deputy William Hollingsworth is here. He'll be on with the sheriff coming up in about 10 minutes, so we're looking forward to talking with that. We're so thankful that you survived, sir. So thankful that you survived. David Wayne is in the... Oh, sorry. False start. Candy first with traffic on the fives. sorry, David.
That's fine. Tower Ridge Road and Frank Reeder Road and Bridal Pines Lane showing an accident this morning, but not showing a roadblock. Tiger Point... 98, I should say, near Tiger Point is backed up eastbound near Country Club Road as they're doing some construction, some road paving. And that's the slowdown is Country Club Road is also a little backed up. That is northbound. And if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks.
In awe.
I know, right? No, absolutely. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court set to hand down key decisions today that could address student debt relief, affirmative action, and federal elections laws. The court entering its last week of the summer session. They still have 10 cases pending. That ground crew member that died after being sucked into a jet engine at the San Antonio International Airport this week has been identified as 27-year-old David Renner. The medical examiner there has ruled that death as a suicide. And rapper Afro Man reportedly had some issues at the U.S.-Canadian border last week. Now, if you're not sure who Afro Man is, you might remember him from this.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high.
That was his hit, because I got high, yeah.
Digging deep in your personal collection of LPs there, David?
You know it. Well, reportedly, Afro Man was detained at the border for, this is a stretch, but possession of weed while crossing, from Canada into New York.
Is he trying to clean
the
room?
So the Border
Isn't
Patrol...
Isn't it legal in both?
Well, it is, but... It was Border Patrol's a federal agency, so federal laws, you know, it's still
That's
illegal.
That's funny. So you can have but it on the one side and you can have it on the other side, but you can't bring it across.
Right.
All right. There you go.
So, but
gotta know the rules,
Afro
Man.
They said he had $10,000 in cash. He just finished some tour dates, but that wasn't a problem either. So,
well, yeah. I'm just going to move on. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Something I'm going to say is going to go wrong. David, thanks so much for the update. 727 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is the headline caught my attention. You're going to laugh. You ready? Francesco Gino, a prominent professor at Harvard Business School known for researching dishonesty and unethical behavior, has been accused of submitting work for several papers that contained falsified results. dozens of studies in the field of behavioral science, consulting for Goldman Sachs, Google, writing for the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and even NPR, or at least... you know, being interviewed as a source of information, quotes. But a colleague came forward with evidence that he had tampered with data in at least four papers, currently on administrative leave. Harvard Business School declines to comment on that decision, as well as the allegations in general, numerous other cases. And so it looks like the one of the nation's foremost professors and experts on dishonesty is... well, really an expert on dishonesty, you know? Pulled it off for years, apparently. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you might not have caught this, but we had a federal judge, Gregory Presnell, put an injunction on the, we call it the drag bill, but it's, you know, the one that doesn't allow you to have prosthetics of body parts and when you're around kids, right, that was passed this year. It would prevent anyone 18 and under from attending drag performances with, again, nudity and all that, which is already sort of prohibited, but this one had to do more with things that are, you know, again, prosthetics is kind of a key focal part of this act, the Protection of Children Act. Here's what's interesting about this story, okay? The judge, in writing his opinion, said that the reason Florida is not able to prevent kids from going to these kinds of sexually mature drag shows is because Florida has also passed a parent's bill of rights that gives parents the authority to direct the upbringing of their children. And so, because, quote, all parental rights are reserved to the parent of a minor child in this state, including the right to direct the upbringing and the moral and religious training of his or her minor child. That's quoting from the law. Presnell states that the law the Florida legislature passed protecting parental rights that you would think of in the context of education also protects them in the ability to take kids to these adult-ish kinds of shows, and therefore that other law is a violation of Florida law and therefore had to be suspended, at least temporarily.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former President Trump railing against what he describes as the illegally leaked audio by the special prosecutor Jack Smith, branding it a continued witch hunt in the classified documents case. Fallout from the Hunter Biden probe and what Republicans call a sweetheart deal from the DOJ and his tax and gun case, House Oversight Committee Chair Jim Jordan.
We will continue to focus on the Justice Department. So we want to talk to David Weiss. We want to talk to Mr. Estrada. We want to talk to Leslie Wolf. We want to talk to all these U.S. attorneys and say, why did you do it this way?
The Republican on Jesse Waters primetime. President Biden tells Fox's Jackie Heinrich he did not lie about his claim of never talking business with Hunter despite Republicans' claim of mounting evidence. Case closed in Russia. The Federal Security Service says its investigators found those involved in mutiny ceased activities directed at committing a crime, so no charges for anyone. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. It's News Radio 92.3. It's a hot one today, 79 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Governor Ron DeSantis says he'll reinstate the Trump policy of remain in Mexico if he's elected president.
It's a lot less appetizing to make a trip like that knowing you don't qualify in the first place and you're going to have to wait on the other side of the border before you get a decision.
And the governor visited the Texas border. He was in Eagle Pass yesterday. The policy would not allow claims of asylum between ports of entry. DeSantis also wants to give individual states the power to deport illegal immigrants. Closing arguments have started in the trial of Scott Peterson, the deputy accused of doing nothing during the 2018 Parkland school massacre.
He was sacrificed. He was thrown under the bus, and it continues right now.
And the defense calling Peterson the scapegoat for a series of failures. Prosecutors, though, say he chose to run instead of seeking and confronting the killer. Peterson facing up to 95 years in prison if he's found guilty on child neglect, culpable negligence, and perjury charges. 17 people killed, another 17 injured in that shooting. Well, last Wednesday was the first official day of summer, and definitely feeling it this week. The National Weather Service issuing heat advisories for the area all week. Heat index is reaching as much as 115 degrees in the area. So far this year, there have been several reports of fatalities involving children and pets left unattended nationwide.
Check those back seats for children and pets. Please don't leave pets in the car. Even if you're running for just a few minutes, it can get incredibly hot very fast in that car.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood. He says most of the time those incidents happen near retail shopping areas. There's concerns over malaria now. State health officials are warning residents to take precautions against mosquitoes. The Florida Department of Health issued a statewide mosquito-borne illness advisory yesterday. There have been now four cases in Sarasota County where people have come down with malaria. They've all recovered. Residents being advised to use bug spray, avoid areas with lots of mosquitoes, and wear long clothing when possible. Florida's Attorney General Ashley Moody says she wants to protect Floridians from falling victim to car buying scams.
Do your research before you buy a car. Make sure that the dealer is reputable. You can go online. Oftentimes you will be able to see if there are reports that someone has represented false vehicles or sold stolen vehicles.
And Attorney General Ashley Moody there, and she says people should always make sure the seller's name is actually on the title and do their research before buying a car to make sure the dealer they're buying from is legitimate. Yesterday, FDLE agents announced they'd made 20 arrests in connection to a car theft ring that was based out of Tampa. The suspects were targeting high-end car dealerships, buying the cars using fake IDs and fraudulent payment methods, then turning around, selling those cars with fake VIN numbers and temporary tags. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Sorry, I was groupieing out to the cops. Not really. I appreciate what you guys do. Tower Ridge Road and Frank Reeder Road and Bridal Pines Lane showing an accident this morning, but not showing a roadblock. Tiger Point 98 is backed up, I should say, at Tiger Point eastbound near Country Club Road. They're doing some road paving, some construction this morning. And Country Club Road itself, a little backed up northbound for the same reason. And if you have traffic tips, text them in if you would. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Mostly sunny skies today with a small chance of an afternoon shower. Otherwise, very hot, highs near 95 degrees with feels like temperatures in the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Hot, humid weather continues for your Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is already very hot for this hour of the morning. 83 in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Even as Apple touts a new Vision Pro headset, the company is slated to release refreshed versions of existing offerings. Apple's expected to stick to a traditional fall launch for the iPhone 15, but over the next 12 months, Bloomberg News says the company will also roll out a slate of upgrades across all of its major product lines. A pair of new 24-inch iMacs slated for launch. Apple's also begun early work on an even larger 30-inch iMac. A new Apple Ultra, as well as two sizes of the new generation Apple Watch 9, also expected. Surging demand for passenger planes is colliding with the aerospace sector's ability to quickly produce aircraft. A series of large orders at this month's Paris Air Show signal growing confidence among the world's airlines that recovered travel demand will continue in a business that was pummeled during the pandemic. But Airbus and Boeing still face constraints on the supply of things such as engines, chips, and workers. That's Your Money Now.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT Impact Resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to PGTWindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 when Department Head Michael Payne of Pensacola State College's School of Business will be on the show talking about PSC to UWF business degrees, advanced technical certificates, financial aid, and how you can get started on the right career path. That's all today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola's 4th of July fireworks over Pensacola Bay start at 9 p.m. and are presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. The best spots to watch will be from Bayfront Parkway, Plaza de Luna, or Community Maritime Park for the Symphony. Don't miss the Pensacola Symphony and their free Sparks and Stars performance starting at 7 p.m. presented by Peter Mouget. Bring your radio. The fireworks will be synchronized to the music on Cat Country 98.7 thanks to Pete and Heating and Air. The countdown gets started at 9 live on Cat Country 98.7.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, super hot today. Hot, humid, heat index pushing 110 plus, especially in the southern portions of Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Please be careful outside. Check your back seat. Make sure there's nobody in the back seat. Protect your pets. Protect your people. Just please pay attention to the heat. It's literally a matter of life and death today and all this week. Joining us, as he always does on Tuesday morning, we have Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. And welcome back, Sheriff. But I think you brought somebody with you. I know because I'm looking at him.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. If you recall, last week or so, we had torrential downpours and a lot of flooding. And on one particular incident, we had one of our deputies that was trying to save some motorists on the side of the road. And I have that deputy. That deputy was the one that got sucked into the storm drain and went under 98.
Uh-huh.
That deputy is with me today. I have Deputy William Hollingsworth with me. He's kind enough to come back from vacation and just want to say hello. Want to come in and say hi to all the people in Pensacola.
Well, Deputy William Hollingsworth, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Good morning.
You didn't know you were going to get a fan club walk-up, did you? No. Candy's a big fan.
Yeah,
well,
thank you guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, what an amazing story. And I think this is your first interview you're doing. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But you got,
except
like, you got some TV.
The morning after.
That's right. Yeah, right. But you've got morning, but you've day, got some TV interviews coming up later today, so this is practice.
Yes, sir.
You're going to do great. You're going to do fantastic.
Thank you.
So, first of all, how long have you been on the force?
I've been on the road for 3 years. I've been with the agency for 7.
Oh, okay. Okay, so 3 years. And so this, I'm thinking of when, so you were on during Sally. Did you work Sally?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is not your first big rain event.
No, sir.
But you, so you've seen stuff like this, but you've never seen anything quite like this before.
No, sir.
So you tell me. We know what happened in the horrible part. What was the lead up? How did you encounter this motorist by the Sherwin-Williams on Highway 98?
Well, from about Winn-Dixie to the Arby's on 98 was a real hot spot for flooding. The south side of the highway was basically becoming a big pond. And motorists were just driving right into it. And I was checking the vehicles to make sure we didn't have any trapped motorists because some of them were submerged. And one particular motorist had stopped, and there were some people outside of the vehicle. And we were trying to get them away from any danger. I had given a ride to another citizen back over to his house after his car had been submerged, and I was basically just trying to help these guys out doing the same thing.
Now you're in the Tahoe, yes, I assume,
sir.
So you've got a little advantage over a car, but you're still not a high water vehicle.
Right.
I mean, that's personally dangerous for you because 6 inches can make a huge difference at that point, right, with water depth?
Yes, sir. I did have to watch where I was driving as well.
And you had been, so you had been kind of rescuing people that evening already, and then you came across this car.
Yes, sir.
And you got out, and you were helping.
Yes, sir.
Because you told him to get out of the car, because he was in his car, and then what happened?
Well, he was already actually
out. Oh, he was already out.
He was out of the vehicle,
okay.
But the water was between us.
Okay.
And trying to just find the safest way for him to get to me so I could get him out of there and get him, you know, on his way.
And as soon as you got close to him, everything changed.
Yes, sir. I saw him start to wade and then kind of went a little bit deeper than that and then just disappeared under the water.
Like how deep? Like to thigh depth, waist depth? How deep was it at that point?
Completely over both of our heads.
Oh, so. But I mean, like at the point where he got swept away, it looked like he was wading into it.
Yes, sir. We were about 8 feet away from each other. When he was waiting, and then it got deep enough where he was attempting to swim, and then that's whenever he was pulled under.
So really deep water, and you didn't realize, or he didn't realize there was Russian current under there too, which is what caught you, right?
Neither of us realized the danger that was going on underneath there. The rain was so heavy. Maybe if it had been, you know, clearer, we could have seen that there was some indication that something was going on underneath where the drain was, but with the rain... on the surface of the water, it was impossible to see.
So it's dark, it's night, it's deep, you're watching him, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and you go after him.
Yes, sir.
And find yourself...
in the same situation.
So what... I mean, what was going through your head at that moment?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear like I've never felt. Just try to remain calm and hold on to what little oxygen I had left in my lungs.
Well, yeah, because like if you know you're going under, you take a big breath. I assume you didn't even have a chance to do that.
I did not.
So you're under the water on the one side, and you get drawn into this pipe all the way across the road to the other side.
Yes, sir.
Without a chance to breathe. Did you ever even, in the middle of that, was there any chance to grab oxygen, or was it just hope we come out of this alive?
The pipe was completely filled with water.
Ugh. And you get up on the other side and amazed. You find in the video, you're looking for him. Like, your first thought is, I'm looking for this guy.
That's why I went in.
And you found him?
Was to find him.
it's unbelievable. And so he, I assume, is, he, and you know, from the, he's very grateful. You're very grateful.
We're both very grateful.
Just lucky to be alive.
Yes, sir.
And so what happened after that? Like, what happened, I don't know, the day after that? Because you're supposed to go on vacation. Like, easy day, right? I'm last shift before I go on vacation, we're going to have a 20-inch rain event.
Yes, sir. Regardless of what happened, there was still a lot of packing to do and a lot of things to get done before you hit the road.
His family had some chores for him. Yeah, I don't want to hear about your story anymore, William.
Yeah, it's great. You're on the news. All right, we got to pack. Got to go in the morning.
To South Florida.
Oh, my God. So had you ever had, you know, you said 3 years on the road.
Yes, sir.
Had you ever had an incident that, I don't know, I mean, put you in that kind of jeopardy, that gave you any preparation, that in any way gave you a hint of that same level of risk, or was that really kind of the first incident like that for you?
That was the first incident for me. We've responded to swimmers in trouble, things of that nature, but nothing like this.
Wow. And I'm, you know, I'm looking at you. You're wearing your gear today, okay? So you've got your camera. Same camera?
Yes, sir. Still works.
The radio, same radio?
Yes, sir.
Anything that didn't survive the encounter?
The taser bit of dust.
So the taser had to be replaced.
Yes, sir.
But everything else. And then, I mean, I don't know. I assume your gear wasn't ruined in any way. You just had to, what, dry it out?
I just let it dry out.
Wow. It's amazing. We'll be back to Deputy Hollinsworth here in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It looks like everything's running smoothly right now, not showing any delays. Highway 98, a little slow near Country Club Road. They're doing some construction. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them at News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to Sheriff Chip Simmons and also Deputy William Hollinsworth, who, as you know, survived this horrible incident where we really could have been telling a very different story. Is this, I assume this is a still, like, you can't believe it. At this, even now, about a week and a half later, it's still hard to believe.
In the moment, the first thing I felt was disbelief, and I'm still sort of feeling that now.
Yeah, I believe it. You said, now, I don't know, are you married, you have family?
Yes, sir, I'm married with 3 children.
How did they respond?
Well, of course, my wife was relieved and scared to death after I told her what had happened. But I'm just very grateful that I have time with them now.
Yeah. And I'm going to take a guess here. You tell me if I'm off target, but you strike me as maybe a man of faith. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
How has that played into this, if at all?
First and foremost, just thanksgiving to God for sparing me and seeing me through a very terrible incident. But both David and I are men of faith. And
that was the man you rescued, David?
Yes.
Okay.
And just grateful to God.
Amazing.
You know, Andrew, a lot of times the men and women in law enforcement, like nameless, faceless people, they're just a uniform or just a cruiser car. And that's why I thought it was so important to bring William in. I mean, these are again, men and women that have families. You know, William went home that day, had to recount it to his wife countless times probably. And then they had to get ready to go on vacation because he's got a family. This expected him to be a family man. The community expects the men and women in law enforcement to do the job, to answer the call, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and just the facts, and do the job. But these are people. We employ people in our community. These are men, these are women that have families. And I think it's important to note that that William was out there just doing his job. He didn't know that he was going to get sucked under. He didn't know that the job that he was sworn to do could potentially take his life. And again, when I read it, when it first came across, it's kind of odd that I got the recap of the night. We saved a couple people, high water vehicles, and then a little note in the bottom. Oh, by the way, we had a deputy sucked into a storm drain. And I was, oh, wait a minute. So I reread it. And it wasn't until I saw the body camera footage that I understood how dangerous it could have been. And I found myself even watching it, holding my breath as well. You know, you're watching movies and you're thinking, you're trying to hold your breath. And then I can't tell you how many times we in the office have kind of figured out how long can you hold your breath. You know, is it 35 seconds without taking a breath, as William just said.
Now I know cops, okay? Cops are, they're great allies. And then as soon as there's an opportunity to bring some humor, they will. It's been a week and a half. Are deputies having fun with this yet? Or is it still too raw?
It was immediate.
There's no doubt.
Oh, no.
I wasn't even dried out yet.
I know in the military this would be the basis of your call sign, and I know deputy, I know law enforcement would be like, oh, that's really cool, Deputy Sewer Drain. I mean, like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The body camera turned off, so I'm glad we didn't get the, hey, Flipper, you know.
Hey, Flipper, that's good. any personal favorites for you, Deputy?
Scuba Steve was pretty popular.
Oh, man. I know it. And, you know, but because you were okay and he was okay, it's time to have fun.
Humor heals.
Thank God. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Well, Sheriff, you know, you and I talk about stuff all the time, and I say, you know, thank your people, right? And mm-hmm. we appreciate what you do. Deputy Hollingsworth, you did something that put your life at risk that is the kind of thing that we expect you to do, and we're still in awe that you do it. You know, so that just for me, from the community, thank you. Thank you for living, honestly. You know, thank you for doing what you did, and thanks for being with us today, man. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. Thank you for your support.
And I know you're a little nervous to be on the air, you know, but you did great.
Thank you.
Seriously, thank you. Which was scarier? This lasted longer.
I'm sure you'd rather be. You gotta be out in the street, probably answering calls.
That's right. Sheriff, you and I were going to talk just a little bit. I don't know that we've. The donut strike just ended. That turned out well, right? The Man of Donut strike. In fact, that's supposed to be going on like kind of now, right?
Yeah, I think the closeout is today at Jay's Bakery this morning. Actually, yep. At Jay's Bakery, Chief Deputy Leiter, and I think Chief Deputy Hobbs will be there to finish it out.
Very
while
good.
I'm here, while, you know, walking his deputy around,
and you're parading the hero. Also today there's a joint exercise. I think you guys are doing with Fire Rescue, Life Flight, and NAS Pensacola. Their security forces are doing that today. Is that right? Oh, okay. I thought I read a release about that. So just wanted to just to make sure people are aware that if they see something heightened activity. Don't be alarmed today. There is an exercise on the base that you'll be seeing. So
yeah, we normally just tell people that there is an exercise, like you just said, but not really details about it because we don't want to usually tell people exactly how we train or what we train for.
And you guys also unveiled a new vehicle. You got a drug seizure vehicle. It's one of these high-end supercars that you got from the drug dealers that you rebranded as the new Sheriff's Corvette. Is that right?
Sheriff's Corvette was last year's car. And yeah, we still have that. We haven't auctioned it off yet. I may rewrap that one more time. But in the meantime, the Sheriff Foundation, they understand law enforcement is cars and vehicles and equipment, like firefighters or fire trucks and such. And they understand the value of having a car. So they donated as a gift to the Sheriff's Office a 57 Chevy Bel Air with the Sheriff's Office insignia with a blue light on it. And so we're going to be using that to help with our engagement opportunities. And so, the Sheriff Foundation does a great job supporting the men and women at the Sheriff's Office with whether it's sudden hardship, whether it is events, just to say thank you to the work that, that just much like you just did.
I've seen it. It's pretty cool.
Thank you so much for the work. And that now we have this beautiful 57 Chevy pickup truck. Chevy Bel Air looks just like the cars would have looked like in 57.
Oh, man, that's really cool.
We did some research, actually, and there's a bunch of different versions of these cars. I guess in the 50s, the Sheriff's Office didn't have a lot of money for different cars, and so they got what they got. Some are two-doors, some are four-doors, some are road patrol cars, and some are what are called road patrol cars, and some are actually cars that they put into the calls for service. And we love the car. It's quickly becoming one of our favorites in the fleet.
That's great. Well, Deputy Hollingsworth, again, thank you. A real quick question is after this, was there any question for you whether you were coming back to be a sheriff's deputy?
Not at all. No
back
question.
On the job immediately. And we always like to end with a safety tip. I think you probably are the best one to deliver this message. Do you have a safety tip for our citizens out there?
Yes, sir, I do. I know from personal experience, do not drive into standing water.
Absolutely.
And stay clear of storm drains.
And stay clear of storm drains. That's right. Well, Deputy William Hollingsworth, Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks to both of you, and thanks for all what you do, keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
Yes, you sir. Bet. Y'all take care.
7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Dales Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dales Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dales Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at Pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy sunsets with your favorite bands. This week, it's Mass Confusion. They'll take the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies in a style all their own. Grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but please, no pets or glass. And we'll see you at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.
Good morning, 7:56, News Radio 92.3. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And not showing a lot right now. Watching a couple of incidences. Hold on. Let me zoom out on my screen. I'm still just amazed that we got to hear that story. It just blows me away. Highway 98 is running smooth for the most part in both directions, although a little slow near Tiger Point, specifically near Country Club Road, of course, as they are just working on some construction this morning. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. Excessive heat warning today. Make sure your pets have plenty of shade and water before you leave the house. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An arrest has been made in Massachusetts after three people were found dead in a home over the weekend. Officials there say that the male suspect has been hit with several counts, including murder. And the scheduled execution of an Alabama inmate in jeopardy. James Barber requested nitrogen hypoxia as his execution method. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall says the state's not ready to use that yet. Governor Kay Ivey already set that execution date for just over 3 weeks from now.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Again, in the category of stories that, on the one hand, you can't believe are true, but then, of course, these days you almost can believe anything might be true. This is sort of one of those. You've got a guy who's a biology teacher. Okay, he's been teaching biology for 20 years. The course is Human Anatomy and Physiology. And this is at St. Philip's College in San Antonio, Texas.
Tough class to get twice.
That's right. I think it's an HBCU. It was founded to teach black students originally, founded by the Episcopal Church. And so he was teaching biology, and the complaint against him, the complaint that was written against him was, and then his attorney is arguing, says, when teaching the human reproductive system, Dr. Varkey, that's his name, Dr. Varkey also stated that human sex is determined by chromosomes X and Y, and that reproduction must occur between a female and a male to continue the human species. And students complained, and he got fired for teaching that you have to have sex to make a baby, and that the chromosomes X and Y make you male or female. And he's having to sue to get his job back after 20 years of teaching adjunct. 1,500 students, one of the highest rated principals at the school. There you go.
Your home for Dave Ramsey.